Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today, a critical look at Vision 2, the county proposal to extend the 6/10 of a penny sales tax that funded Vision 2025 for an additional 12 years. Tulsa Now, the nonpartisan organization devoted to smart growth and city quality of life issues, was a strong proponent of Vision 2025. But in the case of Vision 2, the organization has declined to support the 12-year, $748 million sales tax extension. Joining me is Scott Grizzle, the president of Tulsa Now. He works in the information technology sector and has been president of Tulsa Now for the past 3 years. He talks with us about the projects Tulsa Now has an interest in and why Vision 2 might not be the best way to move the metro area ahead. Scott Grizzle is my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Scott Grizzle, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
As president of Tulsa Now, has been looking at the Vision 2 proposal. And where does Tulsa Now sit? Because you were a very strong proponent of Vision 2025 in past years. But as of now, it sounds like you're not really supporting Vision 2 at this point.
At present, we're not supporting it. And that is partially because of how the initiative was put together and partially because the amount of projects that are yet to be identified, hundreds of millions of dollars with no idea where it's going to be spent at this point and only 2 months away from the election.
You know, it's set to be on the ballot, but really cities are just now sort of having public forums to identify the sort of projects they want to go for, right?
Right. Tulsa, Broken Arrow, Sand Springs, all having asking for public input. Each city has its own identified amount of cash that they can come up with projects for, but they have to identify those projects, give those projects to the county. The county has to approve those before they can even say they're officially on the ballot.
Now, you said that you don't like the fact that half the money is not declared yet. What's the other part of the disagreement with how this is being put forward?
The other disagreement is with how this is being rushed. This would normally be up for vote in about 4 years. The tax expires in
2017,
January 1st. So normally this would be up for a vote in 2016. And from the time it was initially discussed till it was thrown on the ballot was only a matter of a few weeks. And that doesn't give ample time to put these kind of projects together. Vision 2025 was several years to put together to get the right mix of projects and figure out how much money needs to be spent where.
As your group asks, why the rush?
We've asked. We haven't found any good answers. The only thing we know is that the airport is a real priority and seems to be the driving force.
You know, proponents are saying that given the state of aerospace now, you know, and its importance to the entire county, whether you're in Tulsa, Owosso, Broken Arrow, you know, there are a lot of people working in aerospace in this community. They feel it's important to make these publicly owned facilities around the airport as attractive as possible to its current tenants and perhaps future tenants if things go south. Does that hold weight with your group at all?
It does some. Obviously, the aviation industry is very important to Tulsa. But anybody that is a landlord or owns property has to find ways to maintain those properties, make them attractive. That's somewhat the cost of doing business. We do understand that the aviation industry being so important that there is need to, you know, maybe throw extra money at that. But there's a lot of questions about the kind of money and where the dollars are being spent in this particular proposal.
And, you know, I think that's something the city has probably not done that good a job of as far as maintaining these facilities. I mean, you know, the bomber plant was built really quickly during World War II. And from what I understand, it's, you know, it's stable, but not in real good repair.
Well, and people who followed the City Hall move a couple of years ago, deferred maintenance was brought up then that City Hall had a lot of maintenance that needed to be done. We've kind of heard this kind of argument before. But of this almost $750 million project that's being proposed, only $122 million is on fixing up facilities for the airport.
Another part of that first part is a closing fund to attract business. Is there any objections to that?
There is some objections because the proposal, which you can read on the yes2vision2.com site, is very vague. It lists a lot of suggestions of how that should be handled. The Yes2Vision2 site listed as $75 million, whereas other reports say it's around $50 million. And there's nothing that says we spend X amount of dollars to get X amount of jobs like there was with the Boeing proposal in the original Vision 2025.
Right, and the American Airlines initiatives as well. Yeah. My guest today is Scott Grizzle, the president of Tulsa Now. Tulsa Now not supporting Vision 2 as it currently is written. Are you going to revisit it once the proposals are out there, or is that pretty much your position for this election?
We are following it. We're, you know, trying to give as much feedback to the city for their portion. We're hoping for some sort of miracle to occur and, you know, see some great changes. But with the fact that we're only 2 months away from the election, we don't see anything changing drastically.
One of the things your organization did do was create a sort of a wish list of things that your organization would like to see the city consider for that portion of the sales tax money that's, what, around 150?
It's $158 million, roughly, for the city of Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And so that being the largest chunk of the quality of life that has yet to be identified, the county has already identified their projects. We looked at what could the city do. And with the city already having its comprehensive plan in place, already having a capital improvement projects list, we looked at those plus a few fresh ideas and said, okay, if you're going to spend $158 million, what are the things that should really be highlighted?
And what are some of those things on the list?
Well, just to start, there were a few things that were already being discussed that we went over initially. One was the Gilcrease Expressway, which $158 million can't build the Gilcrease Expressway one way or the other. It also came up that the Gilcrease Expressway leads to a portion of the city in Tulsa, which is in a different county than the county being taxed. So not that we don't think that that's a project that the city needs to look at. We just don't think that it's really right for this. The zoo has been discussed, and, you know, we do support the zoo. We do support parks improvements, and we do support river development. But those are all three very vague ideas without anything specific. And we want to try to pick some more specific ideas, because if you look at Vision 2025, it said, we're going to build an arena, we're going to build a YMCA, we're going to build, you know, this park here, we're going to build these specific things. So we want to have tangible, concrete things that people could say, I'm voting for this or against this.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things you came up with? The first one is a new downtown parking garage, which sounds pretty unsexy. But it's actually the spot right next to the PAC and City Hall.
Right. Which... There's an existing one-block area that borders City Hall, the Performing Arts Center, and the Blue Dome District. And all of those are currently served by large asphalt lots where those businesses are not busy at the same time. PAC traffic, City Hall traffic, Blue Dome traffic, those are operating basically different hours. And one large parking garage could really serve that area. And it would also make those existing asphalt lots into redevelopable areas. Because of the way the land is laid out, the grade that it sits at, you can build a parking garage with even some street-level retail that could be rented out to help cover the building cost or operational cost. It would be a real attractive development for all three of those areas while only being built in one location.
Some of your proposals dealt with things that we've appropriated, but we really haven't done right. And one of the top of the list is the John Hope Franklin Reconciliation Center. You know, there's programming involved with it. The park is there, but it really has never been funded in a way to really make this Reconciliation Center work.
Right. And some people might point out that the Gilcrease Expressway is one of the longest projects that's never getting completed. But I think the John Hope Franklin Reconciliation Center, it really seems like everyone's dragging tooth and nail to get it done. And the park is open, but the center's not there. The Greenwood Cultural Center has had problems recently. That's an area that really deserves to have a good amount of capital dollars invested in it.
Another one along that line is the Route 66 Museum, which there are Route 66 museums in western Oklahoma. I know we have the space set aside for it right south of Southwest Boulevard as it comes by the river, but why has this not happened?
That's just another, it was a project on Vision 2025, but it was a project that was not fully funded. Vision 2025 paid for the plaza, it paid for the land, it paid for the statues that are due to be installed someday. but it didn't pay for the actual museum. Tulsa has hosted the, you know, the National Route 66 Festival, but there was not a key location. And the location right at the end of Riverside Drive and Southwest Boulevard, as proposed, would be a museum and restaurant gift shop type facility. A restaurant right on Riverside has proved itself as a viable option. If the city built it, they could lease out the restaurant and pay more, you know, easily for the operation of the museum and the space.
Hmm. Another area where we've seen, if anything, it's been about teardowns is the Tulsa Park system. You're advocating really looking at those parks where we've had teardowns of community centers and maybe think about building new ones and sustainable ones.
Right. There's been three rec centers that have been removed or slated for removal in North Tulsa. We think those three parks need to be addressed, as well as the city parks at 61st near Peoria and Riverside, and the one at 71st and Riverside, which are all very large city parks that are very underutilized. And rec centers, basketball courts, other things that could be built with capital dollars like this project could really improve those parks.
My guest today is Scott Grizzle, president of Tulsa Now. Tulsa Now recently came out and said they were not in support of Vision 2, which is the initiative to continue the 0.6 sales tax when Vision 2025 is finished in 2017. Now, we are voting on it 4 years early, but that's the proposal right now. About half the money raised of around $700 to $800 million over the course of the next 12 years is set aside for communities. And most communities don't even have a list together. Are you hearing from other communities as far as the things they're considering? One of the things I was thinking about, you mentioned that you thought that the plans about the river were pretty vague. That would be something like Jinx, Tulsa, Sand Springs could maybe pool their money and really make a big difference on the river.
It's possible, but to do that, that would have to be some portion of the money allotted at the county level to say, this is going to be a county project to fix up the river. The problem with the low water dams and river development is there's money hung up at the federal level, there's money hung up at the state level. To be able to get things moving, you really need to get access to those funds before you know how much more you need to spend.
Mm-hmm. Is it something where the cities could say, let's just do it ourselves?
They could. The problem is the location of the dam. Sand Springs has really been wanting to fix up their riverfront area. I think they've been having trouble getting some traction. They've had some developers and some key tenants that haven't come through. Jinx shares the location of their dam with Tulsa on one side, Jinx on the other side. So there's really kind of a split there. And it would also put riverfront development in front of Riverwalk Crossing, which has been a struggling development. And Jinx is focusing very successfully on building up their Main Street. So while they're building up Main Street, their focus may not be on the riverfront.
One of the interesting things, most of your initiatives really are downtown focused. And I think this has been one of the criticisms I've heard is, you know, we've focused a lot of money and attention on downtown. Now is the time to start looking at other parts of the city. Several initiatives do address other parts of the city. One is East Tulsa, and that is something I'd never heard of, but apparently it's an initiative that's been floating around for the last couple of years to create an open-air market and plaza around the area around 21st and Garnett. You know, this is one of the Hispanic centers of the city, and actually celebrate that.
Right. Tulsa just went through its comprehensive plan. It's been going through small area plans. And one thing that came out of that was to try to develop city centers in different areas and have common places if you're going to have festivals or, you know, development be built around a certain area. And 21st and Garnett was identified as an area that could be redeveloped and develop this open-air marketplace for festivals, for events. You know, they could have farmers markets. Really, they could do a lot of things in this area and really develop East Tulsa into its own community instead of just being an outskirts of Tulsa.
Same holds true for, you mentioned some of the Red Fork CIP projects. What's on the board there?
Red Fork has been very active in trying to campaign. They have the Red Fork area, which people tend to think of around Webster High School. There's also Crystal City, which at one point used to be a very active area and is now mostly empty strip mall buildings. They want to build up their own West Tulsa identity, their own West Tulsa downtown.
And you mentioned transit. Another idea is really creating a high-density transit model for a small section of the city, in this case downtown, a circulator bus.
Right.
How important is that to the downtown?
It is very important to tie together the different areas of downtown. Right now, I'm a South Tulsa resident myself. I could ride the bus, but the bus is not going to let me off anywhere near my office. And there's no easy way to get around downtown other than to walk, and your office can, while still being downtown, could be a mile away from where the bus lets off. There are lots of great services, tag agencies, you know, get your hair cut, great restaurants, different things going on downtown, but there's no easy way to get around downtown. And we think that a downtown circulator that just runs basically in a loop through some of these key districts, people could hop on, get from one area to another. This is done in basically every major city. There's generally a dedicated bus line just for this super dense area to help you get between the hotels, the restaurants, the BOK Center.
So you're talking about high density as far as like every 10 minutes, something like that?
Every 10 or 15 minutes. And you have to kind of look at that as an average. If it's 15 minutes between runs, the average person waits about 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. This kind of bus stop, as has already been discussed at the city, would have its own bus shelters. You would buy the ticket right there while you're waiting. There might even be a display saying, you know, bus will be here in 3 minutes or something when you walk by. So, and that's going to attract the downtown visitor, and the downtown businessman is going to be riding that kind of bus. It's not just going to be what people might think of as the typical bus rider, the person trying to get back and forth to work who doesn't have a car.
My guest today is Scott Grizzle, president of Tulsa Now. Tulsa Now has come out, not necessarily, you're not in opposition, but you're not supporting Vision 2. Is that the proper way to put it?
Right. We're not in support of it. We're a nonpartisan organization. We're not really part of another organization. And we usually try not to take a viewpoint. We try to present as much information as possible. But this time we thought we really need to say, look, we can't support this as it's presented right now.
Of course, you were big supporters of Vision 2025, the previous six
We were big supporters of Vision 2025. We put a lot of the discussions together and meetings together that helped form Vision 2025 after the previous two initiatives failed. We're very familiar with the amount of planning and the amount of time that needs to go into a project like Vision 2025, and this is not another Vision 2025.
So if you had your way and you could do this planning process, what would be involved in a planning process like this?
The planning process needs to be similar to what they're trying to do now and rush into
prior to you determining how much money you're going to need and things like that, because now the money's been set aside. Now it's about creating projects to fill the need for money, right?
Right. And people need to understand that the amount of money that was spent on Vision 2025 was a much larger amount of money achieving much larger projects. Right now, there's less money being given to the city of Tulsa to spend than was spent just to build the BOK Center last time. But just like Vision 2025, those kinds of projects need to be addressed. What are the things that we can spend money on that are most going to help the citizens, be most attractive to visitors and potential residents of the area, that can be done with capital dollars and are not going to be a drain on the city and county budgets?
Now, you did mention it says this is less money, but when, you know, the money going to the airport, those are actually city-owned facilities there. So the money really is conceivably going to the city.
Right. That money is conceivably going to the city, but it's going to things that
benefit the
majority
entire,
of the residents yeah. will never have access to, will never use. And a lot of it is very much like the movie Field of Dreams. It's a build it and hope that American Airlines or some other aviation industry wants to use it. $132 million of the $754 million is for purchasing equipment that we currently have no contract that anyone would ever want to use. Mm. So that's $132 million spent to put in equipment to service the newer generation aircraft, which we have no commitment that American Airlines or any other vendor would make any use of. There's $60 million specifically for testing engines for the 787. There's no one who has signed any contract anywhere that said we will maintain 787 engines. And $60 million is equal to 1 year of tax of revenue collections from this tax.
Now, I think the people who are proponents would say, if we don't make those investments, the long-term viability of American Airlines maintenance center is probably in doubt. The viability of the entire airline is in doubt at this particular point because it's in bankruptcy. I think they would say that those investments are needed to ensure that if American Airlines does continue to have a presence, that maintenance facility will be able to sustain the airliners they're buying now for,
right,
for down the road. You don't buy that argument?
The problem is that we're at a point where American Airlines could very easily get bought out. Mm-hmm. Tulsa is not a hub location for American Airlines or any other major airline. And there is somewhat of a cost to do your maintenance facility or do your maintenance work at a non-hub location. You have to fly the plane to Tulsa to get worked on, then fly it back to Fort Worth or another location to get it back into circulation, generally. The other problem with the airport that seems to be the driver of this is that we're voting on this 4 years early to try to get it approved so that we can then borrow against that money. And the cost of that in bond fees is $91 million, I believe. So that's $91 million that we're spending to borrow money so we can do this now, as opposed to wait a year and see American Airlines may pull out in a year, and now we're paying $90 million in interest on money for an industry that's not even in the city anymore.
Yeah. So getting back to the process as you'd like to see it, you know, would it involve, I guess, lots of citizen participation in the formation stage of what's important to citizens?
There is, and you can look at Planet Tulsa for to really put together a list and the city's capital improvement project list. Those are all big existing wish lists, but going through and then prioritizing what's important out of that is something that needs to be done. People need to give input and say, okay, you're spending the money here. I really want it here. The zoo is one example. We could spend a lot of money to improve the zoo, but that's a place that you have to pay admission for. It's not a public facility. So people could say, well, we're spending money in North Tulsa. Well, no, you're spending money at a place people pay admission for. How much money should they get? The county library could be addressed. The river park could be addressed. And people need to have their input on what's important to them. Transit is one that comes up over and over again. The problem with this initiative is that this is capital money, and operating those buses is largely an operating expense. So to come up with a plan where you might be able to use this money to improve the bus service with capital dollars is going to take longer than 2 months to put together. And when we were making the list our organization did, there were tons of things that we had to leave on the table because that project's not ready yet, or it's going to take too long to come up with what do we need to ask for. There's lots of projects, particularly with Planet Tulsa, where they're just starting to identify what are the potential costs. Because Tulsa's third penny sales tax and Vision 2025 were all projected to be voted on several years from now, there was no need to have those numbers today. So,
and all of a sudden that's bubbled up.
Right. The city planning department needs to try to come up with proposals. The citizens need to be able to not only submit their ideas like they're doing now, but there needs to be time to prioritize those, say what's important, make sure you're spending money adequately across the city and across projects that benefit all the citizens of Tulsa, not just single industries or single areas.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Scott Grizzle, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Scott Grizzle is the president of Tulsa Now. Vision 2 goes before voters on November 6 for a 12-year extension of the $748 million 6/10 of a penny sales tax that funded Vision 2025. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Colin Hines.
The upcoming presidential election is about a lot of things. It is about the economy and jobs. It is a referendum on President Obama. It is a referendum on the Republican Party. It is also about whether voters believe that Governor Mitt Romney is the right man for the job. In a larger, philosophical sense, the presidential election is about something else. Paul Ryan, Romney's vice presidential pick, told members of the Ayn Rand-inspired Atlas Society in a speech in 2005, quote, "And the fight we are in here, make no mistake about it, is a fight of individualism versus collectivism," unquote. The mythic rugged individualist persists as a strong archetype in the American psyche. It's the idea that all good things American are accomplished by self-made juggernauts through heroic acts of pure individual will. The mythical realm is a landscape of either-or propositions. Inside the mythic order, you cannot have a force for good without an equally menacing force that seeks to destroy it. For the champions of individualism and personal freedoms, that oppositional force is government. Our founding documents speak to the issue of individualism and collectivism, but not in the same way that strong advocates of individualism would have it. The first full sentence of the Constitution reads, quote, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America," end quote. In that sentence is a nicely blended potpourri of collectivism and individualism. There we find words like we, union, common, and the phrase general welfare. Were our founding fathers a bunch of commies? Nah. In crafting our fledgling democracy, they understood that their task was to strike a balance. Hence, they spoke to the blessings of liberty and justice. President Clinton said it well, quote, "Take a penny from your pocket. On one side, next to Lincoln's portrait, is a single word, liberty. On the other side is our national motto. It says, E pluribus unum, one out of many. It does not say every man for himself. That humble penny is an explicit declaration, one you can carry in your pocket, that America is about both individual liberty and community obligation. These two commitments, to protect personal freedom and to seek common ground, are the coin of our realm, the measure of our worth," end quote. For some, community in the form of government is the enemy of individual liberty. For others, you cannot have liberty without a government that does the things that make it possible for us to exercise meaningful choices and to live meaningful lives. Come November, that's the meta issue we will vote on.
Colin Hines is a writer, an attorney, a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. He also writes the local blog, Colin Hines Moleskin. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs lately, they're available online at publicradiotulsa.org. Just look for Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.